Amen.
I appreciate
I certainly just want to give you a because most of you people prayed for my granddaughter a few years back when she was burnt in a home fire. 65% of her body was burnt, and she was hospitalized for an extensive period of time. My granddaughter's doing well, and I certainly would like to just echo, as I mentioned last year, how much I appreciate your prayers for my granddaughter. I believe it's because of the prayers of the saints. My granddaughter isn't marred and disfigured as badly as she would have been if there would have been no prayers. And it's just miraculous to watch the people of God go to prayer and be able to visually see the change in the doctors, and they're just dumbfounded at the way things went in her life and things of that nature. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but probably the most amazing thing that I never ever thought of through her whole ordeal was the fact that if you burn yourself, as the burn heals, you get itchy. And the Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto wanted to have my granddaughter come and talk to these plastic surgeons and that, and she might be able to shed some light on the fact why she didn't itch. They're just dumbfounded. They're saying, well, it could have been maybe, you know, the way we gave her the drugs at different times and the diet. You know what? It wasn't none of that. It was just the prayer of the saints. God's people prayed, and I certainly appreciate all that you did for my wife and I, and my granddaughter and my son. Many of you went beyond prayer and helped financially, and I certainly appreciate all those things that happened of that nature there. I'm glad when Brother Foote doesn't tell you how long you've got to preach. He just says, introduces you and just lets you go. But what, four? Whenever I get through, amen. I feel sorry for people from that go to our church that come to hear me preach. They come to hear someone good, but he'll be here later today. So just endure me while I go through this here. There's a Christian. He's full of years. He lay upon his deathbed. He said to a visitor, he said, "Will you bring me my strong box? I'm a rich man, and I want to look and see some of my documents." Well, the visitor thought, the old guy's flipped his lid. He's gone over the edge. He lost his mind. Then the old man said to him, he said, "There it is, over there on the table, bound in leather. I'm glad I've got a strong box right in front of me today, bound in leather." The documents he turned to, he said the first document in John chapter 3 and verse 16 is a great gift. The second document is a present possession in John chapter 5 and verse 24 that he possessed. In John chapter 11, verse 25, 26, the third document was his life insurance. Make sure you have that before you leave today. And the fourth document was his fire insurance, as he read 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. And in Romans 8, 28, his fifth document was his accidental insurance. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, his sixth document was his identification papers. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 was his seventh document that he had there. And in this document here, in 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." I'm glad everything that we have and everything you're going to hear is held in safekeeping by the Lord. I'm glad I have a leather-bound safety box full of documents that make me a rich man today. Would you take your Bible with me, please, and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It has been a blessing of mine to be able to get to know Brother Foote and the cohorts that travel with him. And Brother Pollard and Brother Cottle, and the gentleman from Biafra that Alaska that we have with us today. It's a pleasure. I don't take those things lightly to be able to have and spend time with the men of God. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 10 through to 15. Stand with me as we read the Word of God. You've been sitting for a little bit, if you would please. Joshua 1, 10 through 15. And I want us to read together. We do that at our church. That way, if we have visitors come in, we can root them out quick. You know what I'm talking about? It goes to the 2011 theme that Pastor Cole talked about. Let me just say, since I mentioned Pastor Cole has been my friend for a long time. It's hard for me to have friends. Ask him. He might tell you some stories. But anyway, I certainly appreciate Pastor Cole and the people here at Faith Bible Baptist Church. Let's read together these verses, 10 through the end of 15, beginning on the first word of verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord of your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising." Let's pray together. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Although it's not the Lord's day, it's never a wrong time to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. And Father, I'm certainly not a golden vessel or a silver vessel, not even one of brass or copper, but Father, just a simple tin cup. And Father, that cup does not become valuable unless the Holy Spirit of God is put in it. I pray that you'd take away anything that hampered the message today within me. And Father, may the Holy Spirit of God truly minister this word unto those that are standing in front of me at this time. Lord, we want to honor and glorify you, but want to build the body up as well today. So, Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in every heart here today, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse number 12, it talks specifically about two and a half tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and Manasseh. There's a lot of questions that I have in the Scripture. I hope you have a lot of questions in the Scripture as well, and prove that you're reading it and thinking about it while you're reading it. And we find here something that always was puzzling me, and that is the fact that they were promised to go in the other side of Jordan. That's what their forefathers was looking for as they were going to leave Egypt and go across the Red Sea and go through the wilderness and go into Jordan to possess the land. But two and a half tribes didn't want to go in. They didn't want to go all the way in. It just always amazed me why they didn't want to go in. I just kind of left a question there. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 8. We're going to be looking at some scripture and flipping some pages here today. I want you to do that because that way I can tell if you're still listening or you're sleeping. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. Follow with me as I read. Luke 8:26, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear and went back into the ship and returned back again. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. In this here portion of Scripture, I have another question. Similar to the question of Joshua chapter 1, here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 37. It says there that the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. I'm going to tell you, that just boggles my mind. That just makes me stop and ask the question, why? What are you people thinking about? I'm just totally in awe. Why would you say such a thing? Look what just happened. The craziest sinner in town had just got saved. The fear that these people had when they saw the crazy man sitting at the feet of Jesus was the fact that the crazy man was sitting there. I mean, this is the guy that they had chained. This is the guy that broke the chains. I mean, he was a regular nut. I don't know. He probably was from the south somewhere. That's an irregular nut. But the wildest sinner in town was healed sitting there in his right mind. I just got a paper recently in the mail. It talked about the World Health Organization. Everything's globalizing, by the way. That's who's going to be taking care of your health care once you get it over here. The World Health Organization. Now, as a Canadian, I can boast of the fact that the person who is now in charge of the World Health Organization is a Canadian psychiatrist. He's going to be taking care of your health care. Now, in a statement, he's made some statements. He said this. He said, you have mental problems if you believe in individualism. If you don't go with the crowd, if you don't go with the flow, you try to express yourself and your individualism. Remember, it's the creativity that they once talked about we were ruining by spanking our children. I ruined my kids' creativity. I don't know about you. Ruined it good sometimes. But individualism. He said, not only that, but also if any person is holding to traditional family values, they got a mental problem. Not only that, if you hold to some religious dogma, you have a religious problem, or you have a mental health problem. That's where you're going over here. We're already there. I mean, we got nuts running everything in Canada. You're going there. And it's just a process of time. I remember years ago, there was a great gulf fixed between Canada and the United States. But you people have narrowed it fast. When you decide to do something in the United States of America, you do it fast. You'll wreck this country in no time. I mean, it's going down. You're going to catch us up. You may even overpass us. But it's a sad thing to watch what's going on. But I want us to inspect the situation that we read about here, especially here in Luke chapter 8. I want to search and find out why did they make such a, in my opinion, such a foolish request of Jesus. Depart! Go with me, if you would, to Leviticus chapter number 11. Now, if you have a leather-bound, old Schofield Bible, it's going to say under chapter 11, it's going to say, a holy God, a holy people, their food. Kind of an interesting little thing there. And look with me, if you would, please, at verse 7. It says this in Leviticus, which is this book of the law. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he showeth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. Not to have anything to do with a swine. By the way, most people, and I hope you're not one of them, I hope you've read the whole Bible, not just the Ten Commandments. Because the law is a lot more encompassing than just 10 major points. Now, this is part of the law, by the way, that we just read. It says that you're not to have anything to do with a swine. You're not to eat it. You're not even to touch it. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, that is the second giving of the law, because the first generation didn't listen to what the law said, God rehearsed it again in that new generation's ears that they might know it. It's echoed again in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 8. It's known as the dietary law. Now, I ask your forgiveness for not asking you to keep something in at Luke chapter 8, but I want you to go back there to Luke chapter 8, if you would please, with me. And specifically, if you would, look in verse 32 where it says, and there was there an herd of swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Now, I want to look at this a little bit better. From the point of the Gadarenes, we have already established the fact that under the law, you're not to be putting pork on your fork. No, don't be going hog wild on me. I'm only porking fun at you for a short time. Now, these swine here, under the law, were not supposed to be touched. Now, the Gadarenes are unique people. Back in Joshua chapter 1, when we read about those 2.5 tribes that stayed on the other side that wouldn't go in, this is a spot here at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus came. The Gadarenes were Jews. They were under the law. The whole law. Now, stick with me. Don't miss this part because this is where it's going to really get good. These people who under the law was told not to eat them, not even to touch them, were raising the swine. Now, the amazing thing that Jesus did is when he healed this maniac, the craziest man in Gadara, he took the devils out of him and put them into the swine. Now you say, what would be wrong with doing that with a few pigs? Let me tell you. He said his name was Legion. If you don't know, you take out a concordance, you take out some Bible book that gives you the definitions of Bible words such as legion, and a Roman legion was 6,000. This individual literally had 6,000 different devils living and dwelling within him. I say this to express this to you. The fact that there was not a small herd. The fact was this, that there is a large herd. Some define legion as a large number. Whatever it would be, my friends, let me tell you this afternoon that there was a lot of devils that went into a lot of swine. There was all kinds of pigs there that day. We find that what happens is those that watched the swine went into the town and told them all what happened. They weren't that excited about the saving of the soul of the wickedest sinner in town. But they were hurt over the fact that they lost the pigs. Why would Jesus do such a thing? I think he bid the devils to go into the swine. Because he wanted these people to begin to focus on the fact of their sin. He didn't save just anybody, he saved the worst one of them. He didn't have the devils out of this one man go just anywhere. He had them go into the thing which they were hanging on to, enjoying and loving in their area. Let me say this. If you break the law, is it sin? If God says, don't eat this pig, and you eat this pig, is it sin? If he says, don't touch it, and you touch it, is it sin? Now, I want you to hang on here for just a moment. Stick with me. Because what we're talking about here isn't anything to do with the ceremonial law. Nothing whatsoever to do with the ceremonial law. I'd suggest to you also it's got nothing to do with the civil law of the Scripture. This is talking about the dietary law, which is, if I may say this, is behavioral. It's personal. The priest didn't come to check what was on my table. I want to submit unto you today the fact that these Jews found out that you can sin and not die. You can sin and nobody knows about it. You as a group, as a community, can have sin in your community and all likewise partake of it and enjoy it. That's what this group was doing. They were all into the hog business. They had a co-op going on. And what we find here is a tremendous principle of Scripture. The fact that these individuals who were supposed to be the children of God, I thoroughly believe that Jesus Christ wanted to fill a Scripture by coming down across Galilee, coming to Gadara, and that's where he came onto his own received him not. Now, I started off with the preface of the fact, like, I am bewildered, I am dumbfounded, why people don't want to get all the way in. I ask you the question, why don't people want to get all the way in? I believe I have an answer for that. People don't want to get all the way in because they want to keep their sin. I don't care what sin it may be. People don't get in because they want to keep their sin. They want to be able to have it. They want to be able to mature it. They want to be able to enjoy it. They want to be off far enough so nobody else knows it. As a matter of fact, people even share their sin with you. People say to you, hey, why don't you come out with us to the casino, hey? We'll watch a couple races, huh? Got a big casino right there not too far from you, huh? Lay a couple bucks down on the ponies, huh? I do it all the time. I go to a Baptist church. What's wrong with you? Huh? Don't look at me like that. Come on, let's go. Huh? What about them saying, hey, you know what? Hey, look at this young guy back here. What, me and you going down to the pub? Huh? How about a drink? What do you mean, no? Don't shake your head at me, boy. How about a drink? How about a little, just a beer? Beer's not alcohol, you know. What's the point I'm trying to make? I'm trying to make a lot of people never get in because they love their sin too much. This crowd that says that, alcohol's fine, you know. You know what? Let me tell you something. I'm going to make a confession before you today. I've eaten pork. Man, have I eaten pork. And I'm eating more pork all the time. As a matter of fact, just for this message, I had 4 strips of bacon and 2 chunks of sausage this morning. I've eaten pork chops. I've eaten pork loin. You know, when I grew up, I live in a house now where 4 families, we all live together, my grandparents and that. And my aunt was telling me, she's 84 years old, she's telling me, you know, every year we used to eat 4 pigs. Our family eat 4 pigs. And she said, we were so poor, we eat everything on the pig except the squeal. No, we ate the tail. Oh, pig's tails? Oh. Ate the tongue? Ate the head? I mean, you name it, we ate it. I never died. Not yet. Let me tell you something. You'll be watching. What keeps people from getting in all the way? What keeps people from getting into the promises of God? They want to hold on to their sin. They want to kind of coddle it, and they want to just keep it close to themselves, and they don't want to have to go. You know, why would you want to be fanatical? Donnie Pollard's fanatical. Why would anybody want to be like Donnie Pollard? He gets crazy, you know that, and his behavior's off. You know, a lot of people say, God doesn't care about my behavior. I got news for you. He cares about your behavior. He cares how you behave. Let me tell you, he cares what you look like, what you walk like, what you talk like. And he cares where you go. So many people lose the blessings of the Christian life because they refuse to get all the way in. Let me tell you something today. If you want to get all the way in, you're going to have to give up your sin. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse number 1. It says in Hebrews 12, 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and, what's the next word there? No, the word before sin? The definite article. I want to tell you this afternoon, you might not be a murderer. You might not be a cheat. But you may gossip up a storm. You may only have maybe, you know, that little bottle that you keep down underneath the cupboard there. You may just take that out for medicinal purposes. But the problem is you've had the flu for the last 10 years. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you. And you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, you're supposed to glorify God with your body and soul, which are His. But what happens is we forget the fact that we have a besetting sin. Let me tell you something. Your besetting sin will keep you from getting in. You know what most people say, young people? I got rid of most of my sin. I got rid of most of it. You know, there's some things I don't do. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't spit. I don't swear. I don't shack up. I don't do any of those things. Well, you mentioned everything that isn't your sin. We like to mention everything that everybody else has got wrong with them. But I'll guarantee right down deep in your soul, the Holy Spirit of God has yanked out something and said, you know what? This is what bothers you more than anything else. It's there all the time. And you've never dealt with it. You're not going to get in until you get rid of the sin. The sin will keep you on the eastward side of Jordan. The sin will keep you there saying to Jesus, depart, depart from my coast. The sin will do that. I believe there's a good group of people here today. I believe most people here are probably saved. But I believe most of us struggle with that sin. And we don't get all the blessings of the Lord we should get. Jesus did a unique thing in John chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Excuse me, Luke chapter 8, 38 and 39. In the fact that the biggest sinner in town, the man who had every problem you can imagine, well, the man was even demon-possessed. He says, I just want to go with the Lord. And Jesus said, no, this is what I want you to do. I want you to return to your own house. I want you to show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he says this, and I want you, as he did, to publish throughout the whole city how great things Jesus hath done unto him. That's what he did. In this call, in this text, there's four different calls. There's a call to salvation. There's a call to sanctification. There's a call to soul winning. And there's a call to surrender. You don't get down to surrender until you get rid of all your sin. Let me ask you a thing today. A question, as we've gone through many. What is the sin that does so easily beset you? Before you're ever going to get in, and before you can ever surrender, you're first of all going to have to sacrifice your sin on the altar. I don't know about you, but I think time is winding down. I think the Lord's return is closer. I know it is. Last evening in church, I brought all my Y2K stuff I still have. That was a decade ago. I mean, I've got sardines. I've got it all. I got wind-up things. I got solar things. I've got all kinds. Just because he didn't come in the year 2000 doesn't mean he's not going to come in 2010. It's closer now than it was then. I can tell you one thing. He's definitely coming again. When he comes, I want to be in. I don't want to be on the other side with my sin. Let's all stand together.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful.